Welcome to all those that are joining us for this shiur on the topic of Chanukah, Tafshin Pei Aleph. Today is the 20th of Kislev. It's the yahrzeit of one of the outstanding elders of Breslov of the previous generation, Reb Elio Chaim Rosen, Zichron Avrocha, whose name is Reb Elio Chaim Reb Kleina Miskalman. We dedicate the shiur Leilui Nishmasoi, and also for a complete refuah shalema and a yeshua for all those that need it. Baruch Hashem, there's incredible oceans of knowledge that are found in all the Sifrei Chassidus and Sifrei Kabbalah regarding all the holidays, and especially Chanukah, and in our Sforim, in the Breslov Sforim, in Likutei Moran, and especially throughout Likutei Halachos, there are many insights regarding this holiday. We'll try to share some of them in this shiur, and in Yetz Hashem, we'll open up for questions, if possible, related to what we speak about or related specifically to Chanukah. We know that one of the highlights in the Torah and in our daily service of Hashem is the Birchas Koyanim, the bracha that the Koyanim give to Klal Yisrael. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu that the Koyanim are the ones that are chosen to bless us. And Hashem said, this is how the blessing should go. Koy sevorachu es b'nei Yisrael. This is how you should bless the Jewish people. Note that the word koy, chaf hei, is 25. A remez to the holiday of Chanukah, right in the beginning. This is how the Jews should be blessed. And what is the blessing? Yivorechecho Hashem v'yishmerecho. Yoyer Hashem pono v'elecho v'chuneko. Yiso Hashem pono v'elecho v'yosem l'cho sholoim. That's the full blessing. It's three sections, three statements. The middle statement, Yoyer Hashem pono v'elecho. May Hashem shine the light of His face upon you, v'chuneko, and bestow His chen upon you. Bestow His grace, His heavenly grace, His charm upon you. Rabbeinu Zal starts the Likutei Moran, chapter 1 in Likutei Moran begins with this term, chen, where Rabbeinu Zal says that when a person is asking Hashem for something, or lahavdil, when a person's asking another human being for something, one of the most important prerequisites is chen, that the one that's making the request should have grace and charm in the eyes of the one whom you're requesting from. Because sometimes, no matter how logical what you're saying is, and no matter how important it is, if the person you're asking doesn't like your face, or doesn't like something about that person, there's something about that person that turns me off, then unfortunately, very often, they cannot hear what the person has to say. They don't want to hear what the person has to say, no matter how important, no matter how logical it is. So that Rabbeinu Zal says there, and he shows from Psukim, the necessity for this quality of chen. And we find that the tzaddikim, Klal Yisrael, is given this blessing of chen. Yaakov Avinu says, Hayelodim asher chonan Elokim es avdecho, the children whom Hashem has blessed me with. And he uses the term chonan, Hashem has given them grace. And then when it comes to Yosef HaTzadik, who wasn't present at that time, Yaakov Avinu adds the bracha, Elokim yochnecha b'ni, may Hashem bestow upon you this heavenly grace, this charm that makes a person want to hear what you have to say. So Rabbeinu Zal says this is an incredible, important quality. And in the Birchas Koyhanim, that word, vichuneko, may Hashem bestow this chen upon you, this heavenly grace. Vichuneko is Chanukah, merames to this holiday of Chanukah, which is a time when we can draw upon ourselves this grace. How do we do this? Rabbeinu Zal explains in that first chapter in Likutei Moran that the word chen is comprised of two letters, a ches and a nun. The letter ches, the way we pronounce it, is miloshen chius. Chius means life, energy. And Rabbeinu Zal says chius comes from Torah. We say in our prayer, ki hu chayecha v'oirech yomecha. The Torah is our life. And Eitz Chaim hi lamachsikim bo. There are many psukim hachochma techaya bo'oleho, that chochma gives life to the ones who possess it, to the ones who acquire it. That's the letter ches. The letter nun of the word chen, Rabbi Nazal explains, represents the attribute of malchus, emuna, tefillah. There's a pasuk where Dovid HaMelech prays for his kingdom to be eternal, and he prays for his son Shlomo HaMelech, and he says, "Lifnei shemesh yinoin shemoi." May his name, may his glory outshine the sun. Yinoin, milosh nun, the letter nun. And Rabbi Nazal shows in other ways that the letter nun represents malchus, which is synonymous with emuna, which is synonymous with tefillah. We know that Dovid HaMelech, who is the symbol of malchus, Dovid HaMelech says, va'ani tefillah, I am prayer. And we know that prayer is one of the most obvious ways that a person displays our faith in Hashem, that Hashem is in control of everything. Nothing has to be a certain way based on nature, based on destiny. Hashem has the ability to change anything he wants. So it's this combination of Torah and Tefillah, Chachma and Emuna, that make up this quality of Chen. And the holiday of Chanukah, which is called Chanukah, that it possesses V'chunekah, it bestows upon us this Chen, is because the eight candles of Chanukah represent the combination of these two. Five candles correspond to the five books of the Torah, the Chamishu Chumashim. The other three candles correspond to the three prayers, Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, by which we accept upon ourselves the oil Malchus Shamayim, the kingdom, the authority of Hashem. It's brought that the first letters of oil Malchus Shamayim are the same as the first letters as of Shachris, Mincha, Arvis. So it's the combination of these two, Torah and Tefillah, that make up these eight lights, the five books and the three prayers, the eight lights of Chanukah, which bestow upon us this chen, this quality of heavenly grace, heavenly charm, which again, the Kohanim, when they're blessing Klal Yisrael, this is where we say, Yoer Hashem ponav eilecha, may Hashem shine the light of his face upon us and bless us with this heavenly grace. Now we know that Hashem is not physical in any way. The term the face of Hashem, what does that mean? What does that refer to? We're told very often in Sifrei Kabbalah and Hasidus that the Penei Hashem, the term Penei Hashem, refers to Hashem's midah of emes, truth, which is also referred to as light. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where it says, Shlach oircha va'amitcha, Hashem, send us your light, your truth. So oir and emes are synonymous. And when we speak about emes, we find that in the davening in the morning, in Shachris, the davening in the morning is divided into four sections. The first section is called Karbonos, where we pray to Hashem and we speak to Hashem about the different basic sacrifices that were brought in the Beis HaMikdosh, the Korban Tomid, the Ktoires, the Korban Oila, and all the other Korbanos, Chatos, Oshom, Shlomim, all the other Korbanos. That's the first section. Then we have the second section, which is Psukei Dezimra, the songs, mostly coming from Tehillim, from the words of Dovid HaMelech, the sweet singer of Klal Yisrael. Then we have the third section, which is the Kriya Shema and the blessings that precede it and follow it, leading up to the Shmon Esrei, which is the climax, where we enter into the throne room of Hashem, Kavyochel. So that the Kriya Shema and its blessings are preparing us and leading us into that climax, into Shmon Esrei. In between Kriya Shema and Shmon Esrei, we finish the Kriya Shema with the words Hashem Elokeichem Emes, declaring the truth of Hashem. even though the word emes is not in the Torah in that place. In the Torah, the pasuk ends with the words ani Hashem alekechem, but the rabbis instituted that we follow up with the word emes, and that's what completes a total of 248 words in the Shema. 245 plus the three words when the Chazan repeats the words Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Or if a person is not in shul, when we say the Kel Melech Ne'eman before the Shema. So again, it begins there with Emes, Emes, Ve'yatze, Ve'nochoin, Ve'kayom, Ve'yosher. And then we continue, and if you'll count, up until the Shmon Esrei, the word Emes appears there exactly 8 times. And the Arizal tells us that once again, the 8 days of Hanukkah, the 8 lights that we turn on Hanukkah, which represent this heavenly grace, this chen, this light of the combination of Torah and Tefillah, these are represented by these 8 times Emes that we say, going from Emes V'yatziv until the final one, where we say, Emes mi Mitzrayim gialtanu, Hashem, you took us out of Egypt, umi beis avotim pidisonu, you rescued us from slavery, you took us out of slavery. Rabbi Nachman explains in one of his stories, the 11th story, which speaks about the prince and the pauper that were exchanged, the exchanged children. Rabbi Nachman explains there that the Jewish nation is referred to as Bini Bechori Yisrael. Hashem refers to us as his beloved child, his beloved son, the prince. The other nations, in comparison, are referred to as Eved, slave, servants. They are intended to serve the Jewish people, to assist us in our serving Hashem. The Jewish nation is referred to as Mamleches Koyanim, royalty, a kingdom, and the other nations, the concept of Eved. And this is why the Gemara points out in one place, Hashem says, Avodai Heim, the Jews are my servants, Veloi Avodim Lo Avodim. They are not servants to other servants. Meaning, we, as members of royalty, as princes, as the son of Hashem, we have a mission to serve Hashem. We can also take on this role of Eved only related to Hashem. The other nations, their normal status is the status of Avodim, where Hashem wants them to assist us, to serve us, and enable us in our service of Hashem. And this is why the final Emes, out of those 8 that we say, the climax, the 8th one, is reminding us of what our role is in this world. That we are, that Hashem, we were, when we fall, when we disobey Hashem, and Hashem is forced to exile us, to evict us from our homeland, from Eretz Yisrael, and to evict us from his palace, then we fall into the domain of the other nations. We went down to Egypt, and there we're part of that slavery. We're part of that slave status. But then in the 8th Emes, we say Hashem took us out of there. He took us out of there in order to give us the Torah, which is what crowns us. It's our connection to the Torah and observance to the Torah that gives us this title of Bein, to be a child of Hashem, to be a member of the royalty, and then to be brought to Eretz Yisrael, which is the palace, the kingdom, the site of the kingdom of Hashem. We're told that the Greeks wanted to break our connection to the Torah completely, and they specifically singled out 3 major commandments of the Torah to state that any Jew caught observing these 3 mitzvahs will be killed on sight. And the 3 were Shabbos, the observance of Shabbos, Bris Milah, and Kiddush HaChodesh. The question is, what's so special about these 3 that the Greeks took issue with these 3 more than anything else? And why this was the bone in their throat, in a sense? We know that the Gemara tells us that if a Jew observes Shabbos, we get credit as if we observed the entire Torah. If a Jew desecrates the Shabbos, chas v'shalom, it's considered as if we desecrated the entire Torah. Rav Nosson Zal explains that these three mitzvahs have certain very unique messages in them, which the Greeks understood are what could save the Jewish nation. We know that when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, came out of Egypt, the first mitzvah that Hashem gave us as a nation was Kiddush HaChodesh, the sighting and blessing of the new moon, which Rav Nosson Zal explains gives us an incredible message of hope. The moon appears at night. During the night, the sky is dark, completely dark. At the end of a month, the light of the moon becomes smaller and smaller and smaller to the point where it just about disappears. We don't see any light of the moon at all. And then the moon is reborn, the term reborn. And then during the time of the Gemara, they would send out people to sight the moon. And the moment they saw the tiniest light of the moon, of the new moon, as it's called, of the new month, they would come to Bezin, to the court, and testify what they saw. And if their testimony was accurate, the Bezin, the court, would announce, Mekudosh, Mekudosh, sanctified, holy, holy. Rav Nosson Zal says, a person would say, when the moon is full, when it's completely lit up, the circle is complete, I could understand announcing holy, that's holy. Can we say holy when there's a tiny speck of light? And the answer is, this is the incredible message that's given to us in the Kiddush HaChodesh, that the Torah teaches us this concept of Nekuda Toiva, that when there's darkness, complete darkness at night, the sky is completely black. The moment a little bit of light is sighted, the moment we see a speck of light in the darkness, a little bit of light can dispel a lot of darkness. The Greeks, just as all the enemies of the Jews, one of their claims to fame is, we're the majority. The Torah says majority rules. We outnumber the Jews 100 to 1, 1,000 to 1, 100,000 to 1. So you should certainly submit to us. And Hashem says that when there's darkness and light, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh teaches us that Hashem says, that's holy, that's special. I consider that very special. Even the little bit of mitzvah, the little bit of Torah that a person is observing when they're down, when a person's down and out, that's mekudosh, that's kodesh, that's very holy. And this is why the Greeks were so concerned about this mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, because they knew that this is the message of hope for the Jewish people, that in times of darkness, when we're at a very low place, this mitzvah teaches us that the tiniest speck of light Hashem considers very precious, very valuable, and it's declared kodesh, holy, sanctified. And that informs us that that's only going to grow. It's the beginning, and the light will continue to grow and become greater and larger as the month continues. And the third mitzvah of Mila, Bris Mila, is what places the seal of Hashem upon a person. The fact that, again, on the eighth day, the mitzvah of Mila is performed on the eighth day, just like Chanukah is 8 days. The number 7 usually represents Gashmius, materialism, the physical world that we are in, was built in 7 days. 8 represents the future world, Olam Haba. A child is given the Bris Mila on the 8th day, when the child is being registered in the Olam Ho'emes, in the world of truth, the future world, the higher world, the spiritual world, through this Bris Mila. It's brought that there's a pasuk in the Torah where the Torah says, Mi yale lonu hashamayma. Who will go up for us on our behalf to heaven to bring down the Torah? And the first letters of that pasuk, Mi yale lonu hashamayma, spell the word Mila. That it's through the mitzvah of Bris Mila that a child, a Jewish child, receives this incredible, deep, holy connection to Hashem. We know that it's brought that Avraham Avinu, until he had a bris milah, whenever Hashem revealed himself to him, Avraham Avinu would fall down because he wasn't on a level to be able to receive that light of the prophecy of Hashem while he was standing. Once he had the bris milah, now when Hashem appeared to him, it wouldn't knock him down anyway. He was standing up strong and tall. And it's these three mitzvahs specifically that the Greeks felt were their greatest adversary, the greatest opposition. This is why those that fought the Greeks, the Chashmonoim, they were called the family of Chashmonoim. The first letters of their name, Ches Shin Mem, Chashmonoim, the Ches is Chodesh, the sanctification of the new moon, the Shin is Shabbos, and the Mem is Mila. The chapter in Tehillim, the 30th chapter of Tehillim, which we recite especially on Hanukkah in Eretz Yisrael, those that daven Nusach Sfard, there's a custom at Ma'ariv that after Shmon Esrei, we recite a chapter of Tehillim, and then we say Oleinu. So throughout the year, the chapter of Tehillim is Shir Lamalos Eso Einai El Ahorim. On Hanukkah, we switch to Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. It's that chapter of Tehillim, which has many references to the holiday of Hanukkah, to light. So again, the first three words, Mizmor Shir Chanukas, the first letters, Mem Shin Ches, are those letters of Mila, Shabbos, Chodesh. These three mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Mila, which represents the whole field of Tikkun HaBris, the purity between men and women, which again is one of the things that separates us from all the other nations, family purity that exists in Klal Yisrael, Shabbos, the Kiddush of Shabbos, the recognition that all days are not the same and all people are not the same, that just as Hashem has separated one day from all the other days of the week, and Hashem has designated it as Kodesh, holy, so too Hashem has separated the Jewish nation from all other nations. Hein am levodod yishkoin, the Jewish nation stands alone, uvagoyim lo yischashov. We are not included in the count of the other nations. There's us and them, just like there's Shabbos versus the 6 days of the week. And again, it's these three mitzvahs that we try, especially on Hanukkah, to renew ourselves in Tikkun HaBris, in purity, to renew ourselves in how special we feel about Shabbos. We know that Rabbi Nachman chose Shabbos Hanukkah out of all 52 Shabbosim of the year, that was the Shabbos that he chose to advise his students to come to him for a special gathering, a special shir, special Divrei Torah that he spoke on Shabbos Hanukkah. And then again, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is the first mitzvah that was given to us as a nation officially coming out of Egypt, which gives us this powerful message, this concept of Nekuda Toiva, always that a little bit of light can dispel a lot of darkness. And as long as a person has that little bit, holds on to even a little bit of light, there's hope, there's a future.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the minhag of lighting in Breslov? You know, the old different minhag and where you light, how you light, maybe you can address it a little. Thank you.
Question regarding to the customs, any specific Breslov customs related to lighting Hanukkah candles. One of the things that Rabbi Nizal points out in Sefer Hamidos is that washing one's hands helps bring purity, cleanses the heart also. And therefore, before we do Bedikas Chametz on Erev Pesach, and before we light Hanukkah candles, it's good for a person to wash their hands. Wash their hands with a cup. No bracha, definitely, no bracha. There are many chassidim that try to go to the mikveh. Besides going to the mikveh in the morning, before lighting Hanukkah candles, because this is such a fabulous mitzvah, this corresponds to what the Kohen Gadol did in the Beis HaMikdash, to prepare for this by going to the mikveh. But in any case, importance that's emphasized in halacha, and again in Breslov, of zrizin makdimen lemitzvos, that when there's an opportunity to do a mitzvah, the mitzvah doesn't wait for us. We wait for the mitzvah. For example, in the morning, every morning, when a person is not permitted to put on a talis before a certain time of the day, in Eretz Yisrael, it's 52 minutes before sunrise. In Chutz Loretz, it could be 72 minutes before, in America, places like America, 72 minutes before sunrise. The outstanding people in Breslov are usually standing ready with their talis 60 minutes before or 70 minutes before, waiting and looking at the clock for the first moment when I'm allowed to put on a talis. Bang! I want to grab that opportunity. This is a tremendous chus. And here also, the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles. There are different opinions in halacha, whether it's done at the time of shkia, sunset, or at the time of tseis hakrichovim, when there's three medium-sized stars out. In general, I've seen that most Breslov Hasidim go by tseis hakrichovim, which means that we try to daven Ma'ariv first. Again, at the earliest time that a person can daven Ma'ariv, which in Eretz Yisrael is about approximately 20, 21 minutes after sunset, to daven Ma'ariv, and immediately try to get home as quickly as possible, within reason, you know, to light the Chanukah candles right away at the first opportunity that a person is allowed to do it. In terms of the special prayers, here again, there are many people who say the three brachas on the first night and the following night's two brachas and then Haneres Halalu and I'm done. Most of the Breslov Hasidim have the booklets or the Sidurim which have a special prayer that you say before lighting the Chanukah candles. There are two versions of it. There's one from the Bnei Yisachar. There's another one, a beautiful tefillah, where we say that our lighting candles should be in the place of and should draw upon us all the benefits that the Jews had when the Kohen Gadol used to light the candles in the Beis HaMikdash. And then after lighting Chanukah candles, there are beautiful songs after, in addition to Haneres Halalu, the Mo'ez Tzur, the complete version of the Mo'ez Tzur, and Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis, and Lamanatzeach Beneginois, and then there's a special version of Ona Bechoyach, a special song where Ona Bechoyach is each word is repeated seven times. Baruch Hashem, one of the people that's responsible for our website, I remember last year, was able to discover the place where my Rebbe, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Levracha, who was one of the outstanding Breslovers of the previous generation, the way he sang this Ona Bechoyach and some of the other tunes possibly, was very, very special, very deep. And I hope that that'll be made available again this year via our website. However way we'll be able to make it available for people to be able to hear that. The prayer of Ona Bechoyach is called the secret name of Hashem, the name of 22 words. There are seven lines there. Each line has six words. And it's one of the holiest names of Hashem. And again, there's a special tune included in singing this Ona Bechoyach after the lighting of the candles. There are many Breslover who try to sit by the candles after finishing lighting it and use that as a time for contemplation, a time for hispoidedus. That first half hour, especially after lighting the candles, is a very holy, special time. And in general, while the candles are lit, there's an extra connection to Hashem. There's an extra elevation for the house to try to use it, you know, in whatever beneficial way we can, for Torah, for tefillah, for bringing the family together with joy and happiness. In the morning, in the Breslov shuls, they follow the custom of lighting the menorah in shul, not in the house, in the shuls. They light the menorah again, no bracha, and again place it on the high place in the shul for everyone to see at some point during shachris. These are some of the highlights that I remember. When I spoke about the face of Hashem, Yoyer Hashem Pono Velecho V'Yichuneko, there's a pasuk that relates the face of Hashem to the Midah of Emes. The Pasuk says, Mevakshe Ponecha Yaakov Sela, that the Jewish people seek your face. Mevakshe Ponecha, we seek your face, Yaakov. And again, we know that Yaakov Avinu represents the Midah of Emes, Titein Emes LeYaakov. So whenever we speak about the face of Hashem, we're talking about this Midah of Emes, which is one of the 13 attributes of kindness. It's not just one, it's number 7 in the count, how the Arizal shows us, how the Zohar Kodesh says, how we count the 13 attributes of kindness. It begins with Kael, number 1, Rachum, number 2, Vechanun, number 3, Erech, number 4, Apayim, number 5, Virav Chesed, number 6, Ve'emes, number 7. Those are the first 7 of the 13 attributes of Hashem. And then the next 6 begin with Noitzer. Noitzer Chesed is number 8. La'alofim is number 9. Noisei Ovoin is number 10. Vofesha is number 11. Vachato is number 12. Vinake is number 13. Now, a person would ask, how could Vofesha be one of the 13 attributes? The answer is, we can't go into it right now, but you can trust the Arizal. The Arizal explains, the Arizal and the Zohar Kodesh explain these 13 attributes very deeply, very profoundly, showing how this is the way they're split up and what each one of them means. And they're actually divided into 2 sets. It's important that this is being raised, because this again will shed light on the topic of Hanukkah, and it's tied into this week's Parsha, next week's Parsha. During the holiday of Hanukkah, we're reading generally about Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik. These two. Yaakov Avinu, who represents the Midah of Emes, Yosef HaTzadik, who represents the Midah of Yesoid, Tikkun HaBris, the one who passed the test with Potiphar's wife, the one who was able to maintain purity even in Mitzrayim, which was the ultimate place of Znus, of Zima, of Pigamabris. These two, Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik, the word Yaakov, Yaakov is Bigematria 7 times 26. 7 times 26 is 182. Yosef is Bigematria 6 times 26, which is 156. 7 plus 6 is 13. 7 and 6 is 13. So that the first 7 of those 13 attributes correspond to Yaakov Avinu. On day number 8, and those are the Arizal, the Sifrei Kabbalah show us, to have in mind one of these first 7 during the first 7 days of Hanukkah. Day number 8, the 8th day of Hanukkah, which is called Zois Hanukkah. That's the peak, that's the climax of the holiday of Hanukkah. It's called Zois Hanukkah because of the Torah reading that we read every morning of Hanukkah. We read a portion of the Torah, and on the 8th day, we read a large portion. We'll clarify this soon in a moment. So it's called Zois Hanukkah. On that 8th day, the Arizal says, we're supposed to have in mind all 6 of the remaining 13 attributes. Noitzer Chesed, La'alofin, Noisiyovin, Vafesh, L'chato, V'nake. All 6 of those come, their light shines down upon us on that 8th day of Hanukkah. So we have, again, one of the highlights of Hanukkah is this extraordinary level of kindness that Hashem is bestowing, light, which is usually associated with kindness, that Hashem is bestowing upon Klal Yisrael. Getting back to the topic of the Torah reading on Hanukkah, what we read is a portion that begins, there are different customs here again, the Nusach Sfard and the Nusach that's followed in most Breslov shuls, as far as I know, we begin from Vayihi Biyoim Kalois Moshe Lohokim Es HaMishkan. It was on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu completed putting up of the Mishkan, and there it also has the blessing of the Koyanim. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell our Koyim, Kois Sevorachu Es Bnei Yisrael, bless the Jews, Yor HaShemonim V'chunekot, that whole piece. And then it goes into the sacrifices that the Nesi'im, the heads of the 12 tribes, brought at the initiation ceremony of the Mishkan. When the Mishkan was first put up, the Chanukas HaMishkan, the on each one of those days, each one of the Nesi'im, the leaders of the tribe, brought a special sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash. So the first 7 days of Chanukah, we read the first of those seven Nesi'im, and then on the eighth day, we read the remaining six, going all the way into, we finish Parshas Nosoi, and we begin Parshas Bahaloscha, which speaks about the lighting of the menorah in the Mishkan. If you count the psukim over there, if you count the psukim that we read throughout Chanukah, that whole Parshas Hanasiim, it's exactly 89 psukim, 89 sentences, which is the numerical value of the word Chanukah. The word Chanukah is 89, and it has, corresponding to that, we're reading these 89 psukim in the Torah throughout the holiday of Chanukah. Going back to something we mentioned earlier that I forgot to mention, we spoke in the beginning about Chen, the grace that Hashem bestows upon us during this special holiday, and we spoke about Chen being the combination of Torah and Tefillah. The Torah is referred to as the book of the names of Hashem. All of the names of Hashem are contained in the Torah. It's referred to as Kula Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the collection of all the names of Hashem. And there are many words in the Torah that when we look at them, we would never imagine that this is a name of Hashem, and in reality it is. Or many cases where the first letters of certain sentences in the Torah, or the last letters, make up names of Hashem. We know, for example, when Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to take the Jews out of Egypt, and Hashem told him, I want you to go to be my representative, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, I'm going to come to the Jewish people, and I'm going to say to them that Hashem sent me to take you out of here. And they're going to say to me, what's his name? What's Hashem's name? What should I say to them? Those words in the Torah, V'omru li, they will say to me, Ma Shemoi, what is his name? Mo Oimar Alehem, what can I answer them? How can I say to them? If you look at the last letters of those words, V'omru li ma shemoi, li ma shemoi mo, the last letters of those four words make up Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei. And the Arizal explains, it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the name of Hashem, but he knew that the name of Hashem that was going to be involved in helping the Jews coming out of Egypt was going to be Hashem's name Ekyeh, which Hashem revealed to him right after that. But in the words that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Hashem, they're going to say to me, what is your name? Moshe Rabbeinu was making it perfectly clear that Hashem's name is in those words itself, and that Moshe Rabbeinu knows what the basic name of Hashem is, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the Torah is referred to as the name of Hashem, the names of Hashem. When it comes to tefillah, we know that the most important basic tefillah that we have is the Shmon Esrei, which we recite three times a day, the 18 blessings, the 19 blessings, and the Gemara learns all the laws of Shmon Esrei, the laws of tefillah, from Chana. Chana was the woman who suffered for a period of life during her marriage where her sister Penina had children and she didn't. And every year they would come to the Mishkan and Chana would cry and suffer. She wanted so desperately to have a child and to be able to bring up this child to serve Hashem. And she wasn't Zoicha until in the end, the Torah says, Vayhi ki hirbiso lehispalel, that when Chana didn't give up, she kept at it. And when she gave forth a large number of prayers, Hashem listened to her prayer and Hashem blessed her with a son, Shmuel Anovi, who's compared to the combination of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKohen, a Kohen and a Navi. It's known and made perfectly clear that the laws of tefillah, the one who teaches us tefillah, is Chana. And Rabbeinu Zal told us that if you want to learn Emunah, tefillah, go to the women. They have an advantage usually in that soft heart, in that ability usually to come to tears more easily than men. And it's brought, the Arizal says, that the word Chanukah shows us once again that this holiday is a combination of both. It's Torah and Tefillah. The word Chanukah has the letters Ches Nun Hei, Chana, which represents Tefillah, and the remaining letters are Chaf Vav, 26, which is the numerical value of Hashem's most basic name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, showing that the light of this holiday that's shining upon us is this light that's the combination of Torah and Tefillah, the sun and the moon, which represents a certain level of Shlemus. A question that was raised, some people light the menorah near the doorway, opposite the mezuzah. Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, in several places, speaks about this, explaining the tremendous significance as to lighting the menorah at that place, at the doorway, the entranceway. And in a moment, we'll give a little bit of explanation on that. That's definitely one of the best places for a person to light the menorah. However, since one of the most significant mitzvahs on Chanukah is Pirsume Nisa, publicizing the miracle, showing the light of Hashem to everyone, to the outside, to the world, broadcasting this light, this truth to the world. Therefore, there are many people whom, if by placing the menorah there in the doorway, at best only the people in the building there, where they are going to see it. Whereas, if it's, but here again, we're talking about a multi-level building. Whereas if it's placed in a window that's easily viewed from the outside, more people will see it. I believe it's the Ramah that points out in Shulchan Aruch, and this is one of the customs that's followed to put it in a window or on a porch. My Rebbe, Reb Michal Zichron Avrocha, had a porch attached to his apartment, and he when it came to putting windows in the porch, he positioned it in such a way that by lighting the menorah on a stool, a small stool, so that the menorah would stand below 10 tefachim, below 10 tefachim, and it was easily visible by the people in the street walking by. They were able to see his menorah from there. So again, each person, based on the situation of their apartment or their home, the location where they're in, to try to light it, number one, on one hand, where it's going to be seen by people. And again, one of the choicest places is at the doorway, the reason being that the doorway, the entranceway, there are many psukim in the Torah where it speaks about the entranceway to holiness. Pishu li sharei tzedek, Dovra Melch says, open up for me the gates of righteousness, Ovoivom, I will enter through them, Oideko, and I'll give praise to Hashem. Chanukah is a time of praise to Hashem, giving praise, Hallel v'hodoah to Hashem. The Sharei Tzedek, the gates of righteousness, are usually referred to as the Malchus, the Shekhinah, which is the opening attribute of Hashem. When we speak about the 10 attributes of Hashem, the beginning, the step one, is the Malchus. And it's brought that Malchus is referred to as the Pesach, the entranceway, the doorway. Lighting the menorah there is bringing light to the kingdom of Hashem, to the Malchus of Hashem. There's a lot written about this in the Sifrei Kabbalah and the Sifrei Chassidus. One of the differences between Chanukah candles versus the candles that we light on Shabbos and on Yontif. The candles that we light on Shabbos and Yontif, we're definitely allowed to have benefit from them. That can light up my kitchen or my living room or whatever room they're put in, and I'm permitted to and I'm supposed to enjoy that light and to make use of that light. Whereas the Chanukah candles, we're told it's as osur lehishtamesh bohem. We're not allowed to use them. Why? What's the difference? We're not allowed to use them for any personal use. The Sifrei Kabbalah explain that when we finish during the 6 days of the week, we are on a certain level, on a certain low level. When Shabbos comes along, we, Klal Yisrael, and the Shekhinah, the divine spirit of Hashem, are elevated tremendously to a very high place from which the forces of Tumah, impurity, the Klipos, cannot get to us. They cannot access us. We go to such a high place where we're completely disconnected from the forces of Tumah, the forces of darkness, the Klipa. Therefore, we're not afraid to make personal use of that light, because that light is in a high place, such a high place, where the forces of Tumah, even if we use it for personal use, we're not the forces of Tumah will not be able to harm it in any way. Whereas Chanukah, the message of Chanukah is not on Shabbos, not on Yontif. On Shabbos and Yontif, we're not doing any work at all. We're in a state of holiness. We're in Olam Haba, in a sense. Whereas Chanukah is weekday. It's work days. We are allowed to work during Chanukah. And on Chanukah, the light is coming. It's not that we're going up to the light. The light is coming down to us. It's coming into our home, and it's even going below 10 tefachim, which usually it never does. And because of the fact that the light is coming down to us, even though it's a holy light, in that place, in that low place, there still is a danger of the klipos, the forces of Tumah, the Sitra Achra, being able to attach themselves if we're not careful to keep the light holy, to keep it reserved only for holiness. That's one of the reasons why we don't make any personal use of the light of Chanukah, the Chanukah candles. And another message for us is that Chanukah light represents the tzaddik. The pasuk says, Oyer tzaddikim yismach. The Shabbos candles and the Yontif candles represent a time when we go to the tzaddik. Just like during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Jews were required on the three holidays to go to the Beis Hamikdash. You want to see Hashem? You have to go to Him. You have to go to the Beis Hamikdash. That's Shabbos. That's the light of Shabbos and the light of Yom Tov. We are being elevated up. The students are going to the Tzaddik. Chanukah represents a time, because we know that there are times when the light of the Tzaddik is so great that if we go to the tzaddik and try to receive the light over there, it could be blinding to us. Or, unfortunately, because we are in such a low state, we're in such a weak state, we don't have the ability to pick ourselves to climb up to get to the tzaddik. So Chanukah represents the tzaddik coming down to us. There are certain times when the tzaddik comes down to us. We know that Hashem Himself, when it came to giving the Torah on Har Sinai, Hashem didn't tell us to go up to heaven. The pasuk says, "Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai," that during the 49 days before Shavuos, we were climbing. We were climbing from level to level of holiness. When we reached the top, the highest place that we could get to, the final step was "Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai." And tzaddikim emulate Hashem in this way, that it's always best, if possible, if we can make whatever effort we possibly can to go to the tzaddik, to get out of our place, to get out of our comfort zone, in a sense, and travel to the tzaddik. There are certain times when a person can't, and then the tzaddik comes to us. Rosh Hashanah this year was very different from previous years. In the past 25, 30 years, the numbers were growing exponentially of people going to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. People from all over the world were going. First it was hundreds, then it became thousands, then it became tens of thousands. And we thought that by this year, last year there were maybe 50, 60,000. This year it could have been 100,000 or 200,000. But there were all kinds of circumstances where suddenly 90% approximately or more of the people who wanted to come and who tried to come were not successful. And that could be tremendously disappointing or disheartening. And I heard from several people that they said that for whatever reason, that Tzaddik knew wherever we were, he knew we made every sincere effort to try to get to him. We didn't succeed, so we're sure that he came to us. And sure enough, the majority of all the people that weren't able to get to Uman, they gathered in different shuls in Yerushalayim. The main shul in Meir Shorim had over 2,000 people, much more than ever before, who were together for Rosh Hashanah. In other shuls also, there were large groups. We hope and pray that Hashem understands our position, and that tzaddikim understand our position. They know that when we're in a position of strength and we're in a position of weakness, and we hope that Hashem will have mercy on all of us, and the tzaddik will have mercy, and ensure that we make the proper healthy connection to get to the ultimate light, the coming of Moshiach, the building of the third and final Beis Hamikdash, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'yamein. I want to close with a message. One of the highlights of Chanukah is the tzedakah. Just like Hashem is shining this light upon us, He's showing us this happy face, this oyer haponim, it's brought that poor people, when a person is in a down state, their face is it's called a fallen face. We know that when after Cain murdered his brother, And Hashem said to him, Lomo Ponechon, or when Cain offered his sacrifice to Hashem, Hevel brought a sacrifice from his choicest, from the wool of the sheep, and Cain brought flax. And the Torah tells us that Hashem received Hevel's sacrifice beautifully, and Cain, who brought from the cheapest material, Hashem wasn't so pleased with it. And then Hashem says to Cain, Lomo Ponecha Noiflim, why do you have a fallen face? When a person is suffering or struggling or unhappy, there's this fallen face. The light from the face is missing. There are many people in general that are struggling, but especially based on what's going on in the world today, there are more people that are struggling financially and in other ways, and especially in Eretz Yisrael. And especially in our community, there are many families that are going through much, much more serious struggles than ever before in trying to cover their most basic needs. And especially when a yontif like Chanukah comes, where children expect something extra, extra foods, new clothing, something special for Chanukah to celebrate Chanukah. It's an extraordinary special time for tzedakah. It's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara. We have a Chanukah campaign. We hope that all those that can will join us in trying to do the best we can to help all those that need help. And the Pasuk says, Tzion b'mishpot tipode v'shoveho b'tzedakah, that one of the powerful things that will help bring about the final geula is when Hashem sees us helping each other in a big way. I just read a story recently. People know that in Jersey City, in America, in the United States, there was a terrible, terrible tragedy about a year ago where terrorists came and shot up a store, a supermarket, and killed the wife and an employee and one of the workers, and destroyed the lives and destroyed the business of a Jewish family. And right away, immediately, almost immediately, some of the most outstanding supermarket owners in New York jumped in right away, realizing, saying that the lives we cannot restore, we cannot perform Tchiyas HaMeisim, only Hashem could do. But at least the livelihood, let's do it. And they jumped in. And they said that it cost about $400,000 to put that store back into operation. And not just back into operation, but that's an area where Jews, religious Jews, Hasidim had started to, who couldn't afford to live where the main community was, and went out to Jersey City to open a new community. And they needed a food store. And the store started small, and then the owner realized that he has to expand. And he had put down a deposit on a new site, 2,000 square feet, which would be a larger, better store. These other supermarket owners jumped in and put together the money, the food, everything that was needed to replace this person's business completely and make it much better and stronger than it was before. This is what we are about. This is what Klal Yisrael is about. Klal Yisrael are called Baishonim, Rachmonim, and Goyim Lei Chasodim. That one of our outstanding character traits is that we feel for each other and we want to help each other, especially when people are down. Those that are in a position to help try to jump in and do the maximum that we can to help. We should be zeicher to be on this side of the fence. We should be zeicher to be the donors. We shouldn't need, we should be in a position to help others. Wishing everybody a wonderful week, a wonderful Chanukah, Simcha, light, Yeshuas, and Refuas.